You're listening to the GAA Hour with Darren O'Sullivan on Sports Joe.
Hi there, you're very welcome along to the GAA Hour with me, Darren O'Sullivan. We have a bank holiday weekend, loads of football, loads of rain in Kerry. The All-Ireland champions are out. I'm delighted to be joined today by Cavan's Cian Mackey and Tyrone's Kyle Coney. Cian, you're obviously very happy. Kyle, not so much. Cian, all good?
Good weekend, and look, we were expected to win the game, but as I said previously on the show, they're the games we over years we've struggled with, but we got a great start. I think it was 1-3 no score, so
some start.
Happy men this weekend.
And Kyle, a couple of glum faces above in Tyrone, I'm sure, this morning.
Yeah, but not just as on a positive note like Cian there, but yeah. We're a bit more doom and gloom up in Tyrone here today now, and unfortunately we haven't backed up our season from last year. We've fallen short. We've fallen victim to the curse again, where we can't follow up the previous year's All Ireland. So it's a bit of an unexpected exit. But that's where we are at the minute.
Yeah, I suppose going into the game, you kind of always kind of half expected this Tyrone team to just kind of get going. I suppose you always expect them to kick into gear. And you mentioned the curse there, Kyle, and Sean Kavanagh was trying to give the team he played in a couple of excuses before the game, and how this group had no excuses. But genuinely, I actually think that the seven players they've lost to start the year has come back to bite him, Cian. Just the lack of quality probably in the squad has cost him.
Yeah, like it's huge when you lose a bulk of players like that. It takes away from, we'll say, the camaraderie within the dressing, like everyone questioning why are they going, and it brings too much heat around the panel. It was great last year, under the radar. No one talking about them. They went about their business. They won the All-Ireland. Now lost a couple of players, which would have hurt the panel and everyone talking about it. So it was a lot of pressure on them. And maybe, look, there was lads that weren't starting that possibly could have started, but that could be injuries, like Sean Kavanagh or boys outside the squad don't know it. Like, yeah. Do you know, like McGeary, player of the year last year, he must have had a niggle not to start. Like, so, like him playing for 70 minutes would have been a huge boost. Cathal McShane must have had a niggle, you know, would have suited him brilliantly in there. But look, we don't know the ins and outs of what's going on inside the panel. Kyle might know a wee bit more, but in general, county panels, if they're any good at all, nothing really comes out, you know.
Yeah, and Kyle, Tyrone actually got a good start. They actually started, they looked lively, and Conor McKenna got the first goal of the game. You're thinking, right, this is it now. And for some reason, they just didn't kick on. And obviously, Aidan Nugent struck back with a great goal for Armagh. But I don't know. I just every now and again, you'd go, right, this is the kick they're going to need. They're going to drive on from here. And it just couldn't happen for them.
A dream start, you know. Every team sets out to hit the net early. You know, I think everybody works with sort of those set plays from the throw-in. I know it didn't come directly from throw-in, but everyone sets out early to try and get a major on the board as soon as possible. And McKiernan done really, really well till get through, dance through. It was a decent save by the keeper, and just Rory Brennan done well to get through across to McKenna. It was a great finish. But I think, as you said, we're more hoping, just rather waiting on it to come, you know, right, we've entered the building here as such, we're ready to go. This is what we've expected. But as we said off air, I think we played 12 games this year. We won 4. And we've been forcing the issue the whole time. We've been trying to get McShane into form. Hasn't happened. We had Matty Donnelly and Peter Hart on the pitch yesterday. Peter Hart had an appendix operation a few weeks ago. Not on himself. We can see that. Matty Donnelly was turned over for the first ball. Those things just don't happen when those lads are at the peak of their powers. And to me, looking in from the outside, I have very little knowledge, you know, but it did seem as if we were trying to force form. And when you're trying to force form, you're nearly better gone.
Yeah, and Stephen Campbell for Armagh, he put in an inspired performance. He was brilliant, and I was actually asking you earlier how fast he is, because he was just pulling away from lads. I couldn't understand how they didn't have Myler on him, because Myler did such a good job last year on Paddy Clifford, who plays a similar game, coming link and play and comes deep, runs with the ball. I just couldn't understand. He seemed to have the freedom in the park all the time, and like, he's an intelligent footballer, has all the skills in the world, and Tyrone made it easy for him.
Yeah, like possibly the size could have been the only thing possibly that would have affected Myler. He's a tall boy too, like, you know.
Yeah, but out the field, would you?
Yeah, well, you see, then for kickouts, you know, yeah. that could be your out for kickouts now. But look, if it was me, I'd be back a miler to be able to do a job. You know, he's a stickler, he's annoying, you know, like so.
Put him going the other way as well, I thought.
Exactly, but. Yeah, but it just didn't work out. And some of their matchups, as I said earlier on, like they brought McKiernan out to half back and Nugent ran riot, got Armagh back in the game, put McKiernan back in on him, and like Tyrone have the best full back line in the country. And they took McKiernan out of it and they struggled, put him back in. Nugent was took off.
Mm.
You know, like, and that was huge. He kicked 1-2 or 1-3 from play in the first half and then he was whipped in the second. So it just shows the job he could do, you know. And I think they were experimenting at times, Tyrone, by management, to see what they could do. And it was a bad day to be experimenting, I think, against Armagh, who are hungry and probably hurt because they played so poorly against Donegal. So they were going to come out and try and prove a point. So it was just a very frustrating day for a Tyrone fan, I think.
Yeah, and like you said, they're experimenting. It just kind of ties into what, Kyle, you've been saying about experimenting and hoping that mm-hmm. they'll find form and hoping that something will kick on. And something else that went well for Armagh was in goal, Ethan Rafferty. I know there's a lot of talk about outfield players playing in goal or goalies actually thinking they should be outfield, but he actually is. He was an inter-county outfield player, but geez, he kicked two great points, and he was always, like, he's a playmaker coming out the field. It's kind of hard to know what to do with him at that stage. Do you actually get someone to mark him and leave a corner back free or what? Because he did damage all day yesterday against you, Kyle.
Yeah, he did. He caused an awful lot of havoc. 2 points that any forward would have been absolutely loving with. You know, like, if I had kicked those two scores, you'd have been over the moon. You know, when you come off from the winning side, you'd have been delighted with yourself. But he scored 228 in the championship as a player. I think Tyrone might have had, you know, obviously in the warm-up, you know, listening to the game, Eamon Fitzmaurice did say that a lot of his warm-up routine was away from the usual goalkeeping duties in terms of kickouts and stopping the ball from underneath or high balls in. But he was doing long runs out the pitch, giving 1-2s and playing passes inside. Both scores was exceptional. Tyrone probably would have been better, you know, possibly leaving a corner back if they could. I know James Morgan did cause damage going up the pitch. He's a powerful runner.
Mm.
So it would have been hard to designate someone to leave. But Ethan Rafferty was exceptional. One bit of a mistake in the second half. I'm not sure what it is about the goalkeepers, even though that they are outfield players, the likes of Niall Morgan, but sometimes they do get a wee bit jittery on the ball and they cause themselves a wee bit of... I'm not sure why that is, even though that there's two really comfortable players on the ball.
I suppose when you know that the goal is free, maybe 60, 70 yards behind you, you're a long sprint back. But no, I remember that. And in fairness to Armagh, they got the bodies back. But it was another case there. Tyrone trying to put the ball across. I don't know, they were just taking the wrong options. And just something I'm not used to seeing with Tyrone was a lack of fight. And I suppose Armagh were so wired going into this game. They just looked like they were going to go through walls. And we talked about the pressure Kieran McGeaney was going to be under. It's his 8th year. If they'd lost yesterday, would it be time for him to go? And Kieran Donaghy did a good few of the interviews after. And like, I know firsthand from talking to Kieran how much time he has for him. But like, he has them Armagh boys like absolutely buzzing for him. And like, they were wired yesterday.
Yeah, like Armagh, there's no question in their ability. It's their ability to back up a performance after a performance. You know, like we spoke about Armagh, Donegal, like whoever lost that game would have had the most disappointing year. Do you know, like if Armagh had come out and played the same way again Tyrone, like that would have been a terrible year after a great league. But like now the thing is they have to go back now and back up that performance against Donegal and show that they're not just a one-trick pony, that they can back it up. We all know how good they are. Like Conor Turbutt sitting on the bench, he would start in any other county team in Ulster and probably the country. Do you know? So they have loads of ability. They seem to set up very, very well in defence. Maybe it's half Tyrone weren't penetrating enough, but they were brilliantly defensively. And we questioned their defensive ability before. They were awesome yesterday. So maybe they've spent time, worked on what they needed to work on, and now they're starting to come to be a real good unit.
Yeah, and Kyle, I suppose, looking at Armagh, they've Donegal again next. If you're in the Armagh camp, how are you approaching that? Because they were so poor against them a couple of weeks ago. Yesterday, they were brilliant. They seemed to be playing to their strengths. and from a neutral point of view, you're kind of half hoping that they'll just keep playing that style of football because they have so many brilliant footballers. Grugan, I love watching Grugan, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I just think he's so natural on the ball. He looks so calm on the ball. Mm-hmm. He's really stylish, and like they have that bit of pace, power, and then you have the more intricate players all over the place as well.
Yeah, well, it's good from an Armagh point of view and obviously a Donegal point of view that they have experienced that game so recent. They played each other just a number of weeks ago. I actually don't think Armagh can be that bad again. I know they weren't that they were generally poor. They were wasteful of their chances. Like yesterday, they had 24 shots and they scored 17, which is a 70% ratio. From play, then they had 19 shots in play and scored 14, which is 73%. So that's where they lacked the last day. Against Donegal, they had chances, they just couldn't convert. And I think if they play to them strengths, I seen just before we come on air, the game's fixed for Clonas, which will add to the atmosphere. We'll have a huge crowd there again, so that will add till the game as well. But if they can get their scoring rate somewhere to where that is, they'll have a huge chance because Donegal, it was a Donegal, the Ulster final with them and Derry, and Donegal are not firing all cylinders. I know Kane would probably back me up here. Cavan were well in the game until two silly mistakes and cost them there. So I do think, I know I tipped Armagh the first day against Donegal, but I do think that they have a big chance the next day out.
Yeah, I think so too. And just going back to Tyrone, look, they're the All-Ireland champions. Unexpectedly out this early. There was a lot of talk before the game about discipline. And look, they got a black card in the game yesterday. It was very harsh. It was never a black card. But I always think discipline is more than just getting yellow cards and black cards and red cards. A lot of it is your ability to do your job and be focused and not make mistakes. And I do think the maybe an unexpected All-Ireland last year and maybe the extra bit of media attention maybe took that hunger and took the eye off the ball of the Tyrone lads. And they won a great under 20s. They obviously had the kickback of the new management as well last year. I'm just wondering, where do Tyrone go next year? Will you be bringing a lot of will they bring in a lot of under 20s, or which way do they go about it?
Yeah, but you see, in Tyrone, the expectation levels is so high because over the last 20 years, they have been thereabouts. Mm. If they're not competing for Sam, they're winning Ulster titles or competing with Donegal. So like a transitional period will be hard for them to do, to blood a few under 20s and not be competing for an Ulster title for 2 or 3 years. Will that be accepted in Tyrone? I don't know. I don't think so, So it's a sticky situation for them, if they lose one or two more players out of that squad, then you're putting a lot of pressure on the young Canavan lad to come in, McLean's young lad as well. There's huge pressure on them to perform. And then, when you come into a squad as a young boy, you're thinking to yourself, I'll be a bit part player here at the start, and then you start to get motoring. Them boys might have to be thrown in straight away, and that could be huge pressure, and it just mightn't work out. So it's a tricky one now for Duher and the lads. It definitely it wouldn't be a management camp that I would be looking forward to be in, because you could be waiting on a text to say, I'm going travelling. Won in All-Ireland. I've won 2 or 3 Ulsters. It's time to go travelling. 2 or 3 of the big names do that. We say Matty Donnelly, he's getting on in years too. If he says enough's enough, he's a huge man, I'm sure, in the dressing room as well. So it's just, I'd be turning my phone off for a few months, make sure I've got no texts.
What do you reckon, Kyle? You know a lot of the players now, and you playing with them and playing against them, and even the under-20s lads, they're some super footballers. Maybe some of them mightn't be quite ready for it. And Keane mentioned a few lads, you need the stalwarts to stay on. And I know, Matty Donnelly, I'd say the body's been put through the ringer as well the last number of years, and he's an unbelievable soldier. And you need them personalities to be there with these younger lads coming through, because there is a lot of talent there.
That's the same as every dressing room and every team that's probably successful. You have the older heads that's been around the block a number of times that sort of can pave the pathway for the younger lads. But just going back to Dara Kenevan or Rory Kenevan yesterday, I think it was disappointing from a Tyrone point of view. Sitting watching the game yesterday, we were 5 points down at one stage, 15 minutes to go. I'm thinking, this is a spark we need. We need something here. Can you, what's the reason for putting him on the bench? Get him in there, get him winning a few free kicks, get the scoreboard ticking over. We only had two forwards on the score sheet yesterday. McKenna's first goal and McCurry had 7 points. So, you know, that was a disappointing thing for me. We brought on Matthew McLean, who, look, maybe we're trying to get a high ball in around the edge of the square, but 15 minutes ago, it was a time for Ray Canavan just to liven the show up a bit, get the crowd going again, because, you know, he would have done that. But in terms of the few of the older hands, you know, I've played with Matty Donnelly for 10 years and Ronan McNamee and Peter Hart. So Matty's body's been through quite a lot now over the last number of years, the hamstring coming off the bone, the other hamstring giving him bother, knee injuries. He's been round the block. So, look, I would not be surprised if we see, you know, one or two boys take an extended break and then see how that goes. But you definitely need a few older heads around the dressing room to show the younger lads just that it's a different step up from even minor or under 20 level.
Yeah, and like Kyle was saying there, Cian, like with, especially with the two Canavan brothers, I just think they're so different to the forwards that they had on the pitch. They're not as big and robust, but they're just so intricate, so intelligent. They play with their brain like they're a couple of steps ahead of most players. It was a day for something. Like, there was a time for something different because it wasn't working. And Kyle highlighted there the lack of scoring power that was there, and even winning frees, just to change up. It just on the sideline, I think they got a lot wrong.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. Like, I do agree not to start the two Canavan boys because I thought that, and it was, the start of the game was hell for leather. There was a lot of huge hits. It wouldn't suit the two boys. And I thought when the game opened up a wee bit more like it did in the second half, and a lot of handier frees were given. Them smaller boys, as we'd know, you do get them handier frees at times. Like the likes of Aidan O'Shea and these boys don't get them.
Yeah.
Do you know? So the like the Canavans coming on could have got two or three handy frees. Like, and then a 4-point game went to a 2-point game. Instead it was going, every time it got to 4 points, it was going back to 5 to 6. Do you know? So they were trying big men against big men instead of maybe trying something a wee bit different. And the two Canavan boys, I was sure they'd come in a wee bit earlier. And Rory would have been great for him to, like, there's not too many Ulster Championship games that would have that atmosphere, and he would have that in the bank then straight away, and that would have set him up for next year, do you know? So it was just a strange one. Maybe he was brought in just to see, have him around the camp and stuff like that, but if they were willing to do that, why bring on the McLean lad as well?
If you're willing to put him on the panel, you have to go and be ruthless enough to put him in there, because I think if you're an Armagh player and you see him coming in 15 minutes to go, you don't know what to expect. This lad has never played before, and all of a sudden he kicks a point off you. The crowd's on right behind Tyrone again. It's a totally different game, and I do think if you're putting him on the panel, he's got to go in.
Yeah, no, I would play him, but my thought process when he didn't come in, were they bringing him in to bring him around the squad? Yeah. But if they were doing that, why bring in McLean? And two boys came from the same squad, you know, and they had tried the big men, you know, then McKenna, Colin Shane were all there, and they put in another big man. It wasn't working. Didn't work all day. So,
yeah, my thing there is, like, when you're brought in, you're not to make up the numbers. Like, I made my debut against Tyrone, and I was same size, all right, still small, but I would have been weaker. But it was a case of, I had legs, which he has in abundance. Like you said, the game is stretched at that point. Even though a few Tyrone knew me from the minors the year before, the senior players wouldn't have known me that well. And it was a case of just go, youthful exuberance, that, and when the game is stretched like that, it just opens up. The crowd would have got a buzz off it. And Tyrone needed sparks. And do you know what? Things weren't going right very early. I thought they missed a trick there, not bringing him in early and just saying, "Hi, you've nothing to lose here. There's no pressure on you. You go and you just run, do your thing." I think he would have set a spark for him.
Yeah, like I done the same. I was brought in as a cub out of minor, and I thought, "Oh, you've just been brought in to be brought around the place." And I remember Paddy McNamee was a selector, and he was bringing me to the game, and he says, "Oh, you'll see time." I was shitting it. I was up in the car. I was just, "See time? I said, what are you talking about?" And did come on and loved it. Like, you know, and as that, like, you're buzzing around the place, you get on the ball and you get a little bit of confidence. Like, we were playing Meath and Clonus. It was a huge game. Like, you know, Darren Fay was full back. Like, imagine, like, I was smaller than you looking up at him. Like, it was, but it was huge for me to get on that day. And like it was like I definitely felt I brought a spark to the game.
Yeah.
So, and as you said, you brought a spark to the game. Like Rory Kavanagh is probably better than me, and maybe better than you. You know, by the looks of things, he's outrageous.
And
his confidence
is sky high. He's an All Ireland medal in the back pocket already. He's the talk of the country.
Yeah.
But, you know, he wasn't gonna be lacking confidence. But look, they missed the trick. But it's what you can't take away from Armagh and what they did on the day. And I just hope, glad Eamon's not here because I can say it, I just hope that they go with the same attitude, the same game plan, because they had it all yesterday. There was some of the scores were just, I think it was Nugent's score actually in the first half, where the kick out from Rafferty crossed the field to Stephen Campbell. He had a diagonal ball. I think it was three kicks of the ball and over the bar, and it was just unbelievable football. But it's a case of, right, you're playing another team from Ulster. Don't try this mirroring crack of, oh, we'll go defensive and you'll go defensive and we'll be back and forth, because Armagh have the players all over the pitch to cause Donegal problems, because Donegal aren't hitting the heights that some of us are expecting them to hit.
The thing Donegal have that Tyrone didn't have yesterday was huge men around the middle.
Mm.
Like I said to you before the show, like Frank Burns, great player, but he's small in the middle of the field. You look at the Armagh won a lot of their own long kickouts.
Yeah.
So next of all, bang early ball. Against Donegal in the first game, they didn't win all them long kickouts. Donegal won them.
Yeah.
So they were having to defend for the whole game and break out of pace. That sucks the life out of you. Do you know what I mean? So it'll be interesting to see what way they go as regards, will they try a short kickout and get Rafferty on the ball and get an overlap, or will they proceed and try and win that aerial duel around the middle? It's a very interesting game, like, but if they can get early ball into the forwards as Cavan did against Donegal, then Donegal are under severe pressure.
Yeah, and I suppose not too far away, McHale Park, the sun was shining down there, and the sun was definitely shining on Mayo, because I think they got out of jail. A couple of refereeing decisions there that Benty was off the head about, and I couldn't believe they weren't given, being honest. And Kieran Whelan was on the Sunday game last night. He was on about duty of care, and he got the rules arse ways anyway. A leg block's a leg block, no matter.
He didn't worry about duty of care when he was playing himself. Same fella.
But Mayo get through, but there's not going to be much excitement, I don't think, about Mayo at the moment. Look, they are one of them teams that are a slow burner, Kyle. They tend to improve, but it seems to be the same issues with Mayo. Scoring, 113, yeah. Not great kicking.
Yeah, it seems to be the nearly the same as Tyrone with them. One forward who gets the majority of their scores, and then it's what they pipe up with after that in terms of who gets a few scores. But the big call is definitely for me, the call at the end was a Stonewall penalty. In my opinion, happens anywhere else on the pitch, that's a free kick. I'm not sure why Barry Cassidy felt the need to give it, because it was a penalty in my opinion. And I know a few people have said maybe if it was different, I heard Peter Kenneman saying if it had been someone different, they might have bought it just about right. But it doesn't matter, it was a penalty. Like and the foot block, I think that rule is a real grey area in terms of knowing what the rule is. But I think maybe common sense was in the second decision, where it was a distance away where it couldn't cause the player any harm, where the first one was a lot closer, it was the width of the ball away. So it's disappointing, and you know yourself, Banty doesn't hold back. I know he doesn't criticise too many referees over his time, but he definitely came out in full force after the game, and you can't blame him in the heat of the battle, and things probably not playing as well as he should have played. But that for me, I'm not sure what you boys think, but that was a penalty.
I thought they were both stonewalled, to be honest. Like forgetting about the leg block for a second, he wrapped his arms around him. Take the trip out of it, he wrapped his arms around him. Sure, what's he supposed to do?
Yeah, I'd half agree with Canavan. Like, you need to buy a free like that a wee bit better. But
that just shows how bad referees are, that you have to buy it when a fella wraps his arm around
you. But then again,
you.
They're bought and they're never frees out the field, you know, so it can happen too. But like, even the Mayo one, like, I think it was Ryan Wiley. Like, how are you meant to get your hands down to block a ball without planting your foot for it. He didn't lead with his foot. His foot was there and he was putting his hands down.
His foot was his foot planted?
He was planting his foot, yeah, to get his hands down. I can't understand. Like, I was trying to think about it yesterday evening. I was like, how are you meant to get down? Like, dive down head first. Like,
but you're actually making your body as big as possible, yeah, by actually spreading your leg across. Like, yeah, I actually thought that was harsh. And then I thought the one Monaghan didn't get was a way more obvious. Like, he stretched out his leg.
Yeah. It's just, it's one of them rules that kind of, it's a referee's discretion early, which is a bad thing, because next week,
yeah,
a team mightn't get it and you'd be like, how is that? So, look, it's one of them things. There was two penalty opportunities. You think he had the chance. Right, I didn't give that.
Yeah.
I'll give this one. And Mayo people would be saying, but that's not the way to do it. But it's just a tricky one. It probably was. Keegan was cute enough to take his hands out really, yeah, quick. But as you say, they wrapped around, yeah, tripped him up. But the referee was 40 metres away. Like, he was, I don't know where he thought the play was going, because Monaghan had the high press on. He should have been stuck in the middle of it. So he was 40 metres away. He wasn't going to be able to make a good enough call on it. But, like, if, well, the penalty was given,
he's got to go and consult then.
Well, that's the thing. That's like, true, you have two umpires. We'll go on to the Teltown Cup later, who had no problem disallowing a goal in one game. And you have two calls right in front of them, no more than 10 yards. Two of them. And for me, I think they're both penalties.
Yeah. I think if in doubt, and you know, that's why those officials are with you. You know, you have, I know Sean Hurson personally, and he takes referees from our own club, one of my own local club, and a few other clubs around, for his umpires, and they obviously he'd be mic'd up from one from each end. So you've got to go consult, you've got to go and try and determine the decision. I know Barry Cassidy was a distance away, but you've got to trust that's why you have those men with you. Go and consult with them and make the right call. I know it's not easy. You're blowing it up. What are you stopping it for? But in these big games, it's important that we get these decisions as right as we can.
Yeah, look, it's cost Monaghan, and I can understand why Benty was so cross after the game. But going back to the actual match, Monaghan set up really defensive. And for me, like, it's a prime thing to do against Mayo, because they don't kick enough ball. They run so much, and they're getting joy off it, Monaghan. Mayo were finding it difficult. And then black card for Conor McManus, bit harsh, but he stuck out the leg. It was, yeah, silly. It was a forwards tackle.
Yeah,
but that seemed to be the turning point.
That was a huge gap. you never tackled.
That's right.
But like, look at McManus, when you think about it, like, if I was, he knew what he was at, kind of, he was hoping, and then he was caught on it. Look at, he knows himself. He's got away with probably more.
Yeah.
Same as any forward, got away with more than he's been caught for, as in buy and freeze. Now, if I was playing, I would have been furious to get a black card for it. But as the letter of the law goes, as they say, it's a frustrating one. Like, and it was a huge moment. Like, you lose someone like Conor McManus for 10 minutes. If he's not scoring 2 points, he's involved. He's taking Oisín Mullen out of the play. There's another lad that can't pick up, you know, some of the other forwards, you know. So it was a huge 10 minutes. Like,
yeah, Kyle, it was one of them ones where you hang out. You're getting no value for it anyway. Put it that way. He can't, it was a lazy leg.
Yeah, I mean seeing just the shape of his body, he was hoping. I think he was hoping that the I'm not sure, was it Aidan O'Shea? I can't remember who it was. But the way, I think he was hoping that Aidan O'Shea maybe was a bit closer to him. Aidan probably stepped out a wee bit further, which enabled it actually came by his foot rather than maybe trying to stop him with his inner side of his leg. But he knew what he was doing. And look, it's we're in the game at the minute. Once, like, even the Richie Donnelly one, to me, wasn't a black card. That one, in the letter of the law at the minute, is a black card, and it's frustrating because Monaghan or Mayo, you know, kicked on in that period of time. They got a good few scores at that stage, and that's the disappointing part, you know.
Yeah, they got 1-3 in that period of time. So we went from being 2 points down to 1-3 to 2-up. Like, it's a big turnaround there, and I suppose that's how you do make the most of the numerical advantage. But I've said it, and all the guests have said it here before, the thing that comes back to hurt Mayo every year seems to be the lack of scoring power. And they got scores yesterday from Paddy Durkin, Owen McLaughlin, Lee Keegan, Matty Ruan. That's 4 points out of 113. You're not gonna beat a Dublin or a Kerry or whoever's one of the top teams at the time when you're not scoring. I know they've had injuries and stuff, but it's their style of play that cracks me up.
Their style of play is unsustainable. It's 100 mile an hour every time they get the ball. It's run, and then they go into these lulls, and these lulls are ridiculously long. Like the Kerrys, the Dublins, like the Tyrones. I know Tyrone had a lull yesterday, and that's why they're gone. But they would always chip away at 1 or 2 points when they're not on the ball enough. But like Mayo, every time they get it, they nearly feed off the crowd, and it's 100 mile an hour. Yeah. Everyone has to run 100 mile an hour. Like the Dublin good teams used to just slow the whole thing right down and chip away at a point. Like when Mayo had to go up against the blanket defence, they didn't really know what to do. Unless the runners were penetrating and getting through, they didn't really know what to do. They had no one to come on the loop and kick a score. So
it's hard work there as well.
They're the same type of player from probably number 2 to number 12. The exact same type of player. Like they've no, we'll say, number 11 who can open up the play. Do you know? And I'd say Killian O'Connor's in there going, oh, give me a ball playing number 11. You know, who can dink a pass in. Like, do you know, the like of McCarron there would be ideal at number 11 for Mayo. Little dinky passes in, sure, Killian O'Connor will field it. Do you know, like, their game works against early doors in Connacht. But then when they get to Croke Park, right, big field, open the legs, and they win these games. But then when they're playing the Dublins and the Kerrys, they can't win these games because they're cuter and they have the engines the same as them. So I just think there needs to be a slight overhaul or a change of tact of the type of player they introduce. Like they need one or two more football heads as regards the engine room that they have.
Yeah, and I don't think we're going to get that change of tactic. I think everyone's been on about this for a good couple of years now. It seems to be the same thing with Mayo. But look, they got over the line and they had a great start to the second half, Kyle. But they went 20 minutes then without scoring.
Yeah.
And my thing there is, like what Cian said there, Dublin will get that scoreboard going. They'd be better than Kerry at it, to be fair. They're just lacking something different. It's the same thing over and over again. I do think, like, Monaghan just setting up that defensive structure, and I think if any, like, Kildare now will be thinking, we conceded goals very quickly against Dublin. We don't want to do that against Mayo. We know Mayo don't like when they have the bodies back. Kildare could go and try and do something similar. Look for a turnover and catch him on the break the next day, because like I'd have worries about Mayo going forward, even though, look, they did well the last day to get over the line, but they're not convincing me.
Whenever you're looking at opposition teams and you look at the teams that's challenging, I know that that Mayo have been there for a few years, they pushed Dublin all the way, and their style of play, the way Dublin was committing forward to certain times, suited them the running game. But you look at the scores, it was 1-6, Killian O'Connor scored, you know, and the next was Lee Keegan with 1 point, you know, and everybody else chipped in. There was 4 or 5 other players chipped in with 1 point. So your initial, you know, if you were setting up to counteract that, if you can put out a fire and Killian O'Connor and put him out, you know, take him down. He scored a penalty, 1 from play, 5 frees. You go a long way of stopping Mayo. You know, that's the long and short of it. You go I know that they have other players that can cause damage, but you go out against Kerry, you have David Clifford to think of, you have Paul Geaney to think of, you have Killian Sablan to come on, Paddy Clifford, Stephen O'Brien. You go to Dublin, you have Conor Callaghan. You have so many fires to put out that if someone doesn't step up, someone else is going to do it. And you don't see that with Mayo at the minute. That seems to be that they're very reliant on one player for a lot of scores. And it was the same with Tyrone yesterday. I said that earlier. So Kildare will be setting up to frustrate them and hit them on the counter-attack. That'll be, you know, whenever they get the bodies forward from the running game, Killian or Oisín Mullen gets forward, Lee Keegan gets forward, Aidan O'Shea's in the middle of the play. Owen McLaughlin is lightning quick. I was impressed with him actually at the weekend. He was getting himself in some really good positions, but
should have got a goal as well.
Yeah, should have had a goal. It was probably he had a lot of the net at the left hand side of the keeper to aim for. He sort of went for a bit more power, and Began done well to stand up for so long. But you'd be I would think, looking back, Kildare will take a lot of belief from an underperforming Monaghan.
Yeah, I think so as well. And just on Killian O'Connor's penalty, like, I can just imagine the size of Egan in the goal, but Killian O'Connor is as cool as you like in that position. It was unbelievable. To some penalty,
outrageous penalty, right in the, and look, it probably couldn't put it anywhere else.
No.
Began was actually fairly close to it because he guessed the right side. But look, Killian O'Connor's always going to get to scores. If he's not scoring from play, he's fairly concrete from frees. But the thing about it is, we spoke about it a couple of weeks ago, Kildare are now trying to reenact what Monaghan did. They're not used to it.
Yeah.
Do you know? So Monaghan have played this style at times for the last 10 years, so they can do it. And then you bring the Croke Park factor in. Mayo to Croke Park with the running power, that's when they come to their milk, because there's so much space. Whereas in Castlebar, big pitch, yes, but it's enclosed a lot more than Croke Park, so it's a lot more difficult. Like Mayo now, they will definitely improve when they come to Croke Park, and they will have a lot more opportunities because Kerry kick, Dublin kick, so they've man-on-man defenders who can deal with lads. Yeah. We said that before. So they've probably got over the stickiest part of their year. Do you know? So now, like, we're half nearly writing them off at the minute, but they are as good as Dublin when they get to Croke Park, or as good as the Kerrys from years ago. Croke Park is where they shine their best. And yeah, the lack of forwards probably has let them down over the years. But they're still in the mix once they get to Croke Park. As much as I say they need to change up and have one or two extra, have a couple of more arrows in the back pocket.
Would you hope, Brian, I don't know, will be available now, hopefully next week.
Yeah, no, he'd be a big addition, But, like, it's just the Croke Park factor is massive. We always say, oh, Dublin have Croke Park, they're fine. Mayo get to Croke Park, they're a different animal because of their running power. And if they could just not go 100 mile an hour every time they got the ball and just calm it down maybe for 2 or 3 minutes, they mightn't just run out of steam.
And the other thing is, like, they had a long gap. Mayo had a long gap between the Galway game and the Monaghan game. I am hanging my hat on the hope that they have been working on something different, that they're holding it back until they get to Croke Park. And I'm not sure what Dermot O'Connor's story is. Is he gone for much longer or what? But you add in Ryan O'Donoghue, Dermot O'Connor, then you have options, and you'd hope then that they might start tweaking their play a bit. But I suppose there was a couple of other games on, and a team we gave enough stick to all throughout the year, and Sean Kavanagh gave it an awful doing there one day on the Sunday game. Poor old Sean's getting a doing on this podcast today. But Cork did a big win against Loud. End of the road for Loud this year, but they've had a good year, and it was the qualifier I think Cork needed at home, and just the extra bit of quality they had up front. Brian Hurley and Sherlock got them over the line. Kyle.
Yeah, I think we did speak about this the last day on the podcast. We talked about Loud coming up the divisions. I do think that Mickey and Gavin going in there and putting the structure, getting the S&C sorted, helped them massively. And obviously they have a number of good players among their ranks. But whenever they get that right, get them all singing off the same hymn sheet, I think you can do work to get out of Division 4 and Division 3 as such. But it goes to show just that the levels, when you go up to the next level in terms of Division 2 teams, and even coming up against Kildare, the last day out for, or the second last day out for Louth was difficult for them. There's a massive gap. So now will be the see what good work can be done. Can they progress? Can they bring a few more through and close that gap to the rest of the teams in Leinster? But like, Cork just done enough to get over the line. It's the game they needed, and obviously the draw has been kind to them again.
Yeah.
This weekend or the following week, next week or this weekend, I think
this
it is.
Weekend,
The draw has been kind to them again. So I would fancy them to come through, a tight game as well, Cork, but that's a game that's very similar to Armagh, and Donegal could go either way.
Yeah, and obviously down as well down in Munster, Clare had a big win against, well, a good win against Meath, which Cullum Collins down there, like, I have so much time for him, and like I always say, the Clare don't get the credit they deserve. Big win against Meath, because I think a lot of people are thinking that Meath might just edge it.
Yeah, over the last few years, Meath have got the better of them in tight, sticky games. But from looking at parts of it, and Meade would say that the goalkeeping position was their issue over the last few years.
Without
their keeper, they lost the game. It's two more goals, two fantastic saves. So look at Meade. I don't know what you can say about Meade at the minute. Like, was it 2 years ago they came back and tightened Dublin? And then you were thinking, yeah, Meade is back. This Dublin-Meade rivalry could be on its way back. And they've gone, they could be fifth or sixth in the pecking order in Leinster. Like, and when was the last time you could say that about Meade? So it'll be interesting to see what way management and county board look at the next couple of years, because there has to be talent there. They're winning minor All-Irelands and stuff like that over the last few years and stuff like that. So
yeah, and like it's interesting. Clare are a prime example too. They have Cleary and Tubberty up front, like, who are as good as any two forwards out there. Beautiful footballers. And if you have a couple of two or three good forwards, you'll always have a chance. Like, in fairness, Clare, they had a very good win the last day. So tough game now against Roscommon.
Yeah, look, it's getting over that line and getting them to the next level was huge for them. Like, the celebrations after the match was huge for us, you know. Roscommon will be licking their lips too. They're wounded at the minute. But Roscommon, you'd be thinking, would be very, very happy with the draw. But you can never write off Clare. They're always there, thereabouts. They were in the mix to go up in Division 2 until late on in the league. So It'll be a tricky enough one for Roscommon, but they will be happier to have them than we'd say the Armaghs or Donegals, you know.
100%. And the Tailteann Cup, I suppose, that probably where the best action was the weekend. And Fermanagh and Cavan, I'm going to ignore you for a second, Cian, because you won't be able to shut up about this one. But I know you're happy about it. But to some performance by Cavan and to some start to the game, Kyle, the goal by Thomas Galligan.
Right from the throw-in. We did speak about this earlier. That's what every team wants to set out and get that score set themselves up. I know that in Tyrone, for a number of years, we worked on set plays from a throw-in, and that's one that worked a treat. Thomas Galligan, the big, Cian know a lot more about him than me. I've seen him just the last few years. I know a couple of years ago, he got an All-Star. So he, big, big, powerful man. I've seen him that day down in Corrigan Park against Antrim. He's a big unit, and when he gets going, he is hard to stop. Like, it was the dream start, and it was always going to be hard for Fermanagh to come out and claw that back. They did close the gap, but I think just Cavan always had too much in the tank for them. There was never, I think the result was never in doubt.
No, Cian, to some performance by him.
Yeah, look at it. Going into the game, it was a sticky one. Like, Fermanagh, local derby, kind of closes the gap of quality. You know, when you're going in and you're playing, you're like, this is going to be tit for tat. But when you get someone like Thomas catching a ball, and we said about Suppy Campbell having pace, Thomas Galligan, when he gets going, is frightening. Like, he is power and pace. Like, he is as quick. He'd probably do 100 metres, I'd say, 12 seconds. Like, he is frightening quick when he gets going.
That size, and it'd that be power, hard to stop him.
So there's small lads who should be quick trailing after him and back of the net, you know. Like, and he probably was riddled with injuries for the first couple of years of his inter-county career. Now, we'd say Andre there and Cavan has got him right. He's in great shape, big, strong man. He's been huge for us. But look, it was a game, it was kind of one of them banana skin games that were expected to win, and sometimes they're the games that traditionally Cavan haven't performed in. So that goal at the start, I think it was 1-3 to no score, set us up.
8 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, set us up lovely just to kick on. But I think that the key for us is defensively we're fairly sound, you know. We're not leaking goals and stuff like that. So I think that's a huge key for us going forward.
Yeah, Fermanagh never really got going. Most of the scores were from frees. So it was one of them ones that Cavan be delighted to get over the line. Kept it down to 13 points, which is always good, which would build confidence as well. And they'll drive on. And like that, it's always harder going into games, Kyle, as well, when you're the favourite and everyone's saying that you're playing a level below yourself, so you should be winning these games. So Cavan, in fairness, they're hitting the ground running in games and taking the pressure off them, I suppose, a small bit.
I was impressed with Cavan against Donegal. I thought they played really well in the Ulster Championship, and I do think it came down to, you know, couple of moments of just the game fell away from them. The scoreline flattered Donegal that day. I was chatting to a few Donegal men after the match, and they were happy to get out of Clonas that day with the wind, the way things went. But like, Paddy Lynch up front against Antrim shot the lights out, was a great find. Grove McKiernan's a fantastic player, and you have Thomas Galligan, who are three huge men. And if they're unsung, it definitely gives Cavan a big chance any day out. And they'll be impressed with how they started the game. But as I say, it does bode well whenever they can come through those potential banana skins. I know that Cian said it's a local derby as such, in terms of, you know, there's not a million miles between the two teams, but Cavan will just be happy to be in the next round. I know they probably not want to be in the Italian Cup, but, you know, it sets them for a good stead for next year.
Yeah, look, it's another outing in Croke Park and one step away from another final. But I suppose the game of the weekend was down in Connacht, Leitrim and Sligo, 216 to 119 after extra time and then into penalties. Like, we've been saying it for a while here. That's why the Teltian Cup was here for these teams. Like, it was a super game, and some of the scores that were kicked were outrageous.
Oh, look, Leitrim kicked some outrageous scores, same as Sligo. But Keith Byrne at number 11, like, what a find.
The scores were unbelievable.
I wouldn't have even known that chap until yesterday. And that's criminal, because he's quality. You know, like, he kicking balls over his shoulder, wrong side, solo dummies, Everton. Like, I think it was 6 or 7 pints he finished up with, and most from play, you know. Yeah. Like, what a player.
And stuck a penalty.
You know, like, it's... They spoke about it giving people a chance to see the other quality players out there. And look, there was loads of quality players in the Sligo team as well. But it just stood out for me how good he was, you know. And everyone used to talk Emlyn Mulligan for Leitrim, and you never knew anyone else. He's now the new kid on the block, we'll say, for Leitrim. And if they could build a team around the like of him for the next couple of years, who knows how far they can go. And as it was said after the game, there's a huge interest in Leitrim now. Like, young kids are happy going to a match. So
yeah,
if they can keep progressing, who knows what they can start to do and start to rebuild the game over there.
Yeah, and Kyle, I suppose, look, it was such a great game. The excitement was unreal. I don't want to be bringing down the negative, but there was always one negative. It was the refereeing or umpire's decision that went against Leitrim. In fairness, Andy Moran, I heard him speaking after the game, and he said it straight, I don't want to be one of them teams or when the manager's moaning about stuff. If it was me, I'd be moaning away mad. But it was an awful call, and it probably cost Leitrim the game, because getting a goal in extra time, it's a sucker punch as well, and it is hard to get yourself back up after that. So it was poor to see Leitrim going out on a mistake.
Yeah. In fairness, I'd heard Andy speak after the match, and he didn't want to be. You could see him. He was sort of scrimmaging the face, and he was rubbing the back of the head. He didn't want to be that person in terms of, you know, to say that he was bothered by the referee and decision, the call. But to me, it was never a square ball. I seen a clip of it then as well. Just waited perfectly outside the box, and it was a perfectly legitimate goal for me. But it's disappointing in that behalf, because as Andy did say, why always go with the umpire that says it is a square ball? Why not? Yeah. Are we, you know, agreeing with the umpire going for the green flag? It's disappointing in that behalf, and it's annoying, I'm sure, for Leitrim going out on a decision they had, because as you stated there yourself, Darren, that getting a goal in extra time is a massive score. Getting a couple of points in extra time over that course of the time, we've seen Donegal and Derry last week with one apiece in the first half. It's very, very hard to get scores in that stage of the game. So that was a big turning point in that game. But I do agree with Kane there as well, that you would never, it's great to see some of these lads, you know, get the airtime that they deserve. Alan Riley was 6 points, and Patrick O'Connor was 6 points for Sligo as well. You don't get to see that too often, you know, just with the way the media rates of the GAA is. But it's great to see these lads, you know, and for Sligo themselves, getting to the Italian Cup, getting to Croke Park, because they probably would never have been in Croke Park this year only for the Italian Cup.
Yeah, no, it's brilliant. And like that, Sligo have got there now after two huge wins, both going to extra time. And I'm just going to read it out here from the Sligo Twitter account. Today's game against Leitrim was a superb occasion, probably the best occasion and playing experience our players have had in the last 5 years, and brilliant entertainment for a crowd who were fully engaged. Like, do you want more?
Yeah,
one more do you have to say after that? So it was brilliant. And do you know, it's funny, I was in the car and I was listening to Tommy Walsh, Kilkenny hurler, and about, you know, games in Croke Park and this, that and the other, and how he got there with his club. And it was all about, he was so delighted to see players that he'd soldiered with for so many years with the club get to Croke Park. And these Sligo lads now are going to be getting ready to go to Croke Park, and they might have one game, they might have two games in Croke Park, and it might even be silver at the end of it. So it's brilliant, to be honest. And like, these are the games now that are going to help build this Taltian Cup into something that's going to just get bigger and better.
Yeah, all going well, they've one game and one game only. But I know, like, all I'm going to say, no, it is huge. It definitely is huge, because all the buzz when Terry Hyland went to Leitrim was they got to the league final and they got to Croke Park. Do you know? And
yeah,
playing at Croke Park is the pinnacle for yeah, everyone. Look at the pinnacle is to play when the place is absolutely packed to the rafters. But that's all Ireland final day, and there's not too many that are lucky enough to do that. But it's huge. Like, there's players there that could be coming to the end of their career after never playing there.
Yeah.
Do you know? So it is massive, and it's a great occasion. And look at double header. If you could get all the crowd for all four teams in at the one time and enjoy the spectacle yeah, of the two games, it'd be fantastic. And look at it, if it's good weather, there's a good possibility everyone will go up to get the two games. But there should be 20,000-30,000 in there anyway. Like, it'll be great.
Yeah, and Offaly had a comfortable game against New York, and Paddy Dunnigan, the goalie for Offaly, he took off from his sister's wedding. Fair play to him. He missed the mass maybe and back for the afters, but he came back, played in goal, kept a clean sheet. It was fairly comfortable. Look, New York were always going to be up against it, not having a game and stuff like that. So, look, it was a pity. No, Offaly didn't get a tougher game. They'll have a tougher one now against Westmead, who had a good win against Carlow. John Heslin, another big name, but we're getting to see more of him. He kicked 1-9 the weekend as well. So, like that, 213 to 121. It's fair scoring. And like that, for all of these players and for these counties, they'd have been sitting, finished, doing nothing now. So there's good excitement coming up now in the next couple of weeks. And I can just imagine the buzz being in one of them camps now, getting ready to go to Croke Park. Probably pitched it on playing too often as well. So it's going to be exciting times for them.
Like you go to play any of these teams, you're going in, like we'd say maybe the exception of New York, but New York were getting over here for a holiday as well, you know. So for them, it's great. But each team going into that, like Carlow were going into that game against Westmead in full belief they were going to win that game, do you know, and we're in the mix for long yeah, periods. Like, whereas other competitions, you're going to play Dublin and you're going to play, we'd say, Kildare. It's kind of like, oh yeah, we're in the mix, we're not in the mix, you know. Yeah. And that's like you in the back of your mind, you know, you're not in the mix. So it's a huge occasion. And look at the two best teams in it are Westmead and Cavan, and it's good that the two of them avoid each other.
Yeah.
But Cavan won't want to play Sligo. Cavan played Sligo in the league, and it was a sticky one down in Markovich Park. You know, like I think we ended up winning by 5 or 6 in the end, but we got a lucky enough goal to kick us on. So they'll come into the game looking at that to go, we weren't miles away from Cavan. They might think of us not as good as them. So they'll be coming in under the radar. So it'll be a real interesting couple of games now.
Yeah, and the qualifiers run this morning, or the draw for the qualifiers ran this morning, with Armagh v Donegal, Kildare v Mayo, Cork and Limerick, Clare and Roscommon. And there's a couple of conspiracy theories going around the place that the Ulster teams have been drawn against them to stop one of them from winning Sam. I wouldn't go that far, but it's definitely going to... there'll be fireworks at that one anyway, Kyle.
Yeah. Or to see a bit more defensive football, whatever way you want to put it.
Yeah.
But no, I would be... It's I suppose the draw is done. We take it as what it is, but it's set up for some tasty encounters, and with Donegal and Armagh will be fireworks. As I say, it's in Clonas fixed, I think, for the Sunday. So both teams will know each other really well, and look, I'm looking forward to seeing Armagh again. See if they can back up yesterday's performance with how they performed. I love watching teams move the ball via kick pass. It's just yeah, something that I enjoy watching. It's a side of the game that I love to see players playing with their head up, more so than the running game. Look, so there'll be fireworks at that one, because I do think we have an underperforming Donegal who have slipped through to an Ulster final. Could have been nipped by Cavan that day, but I'm looking forward to that one. I do fancy Armagh to come out on top. I think that they dug deep for Kieran McGinney yesterday. Seemed to be, I listened to Kieran Donnelly's interview after, and they said they just stripped it back, and they went man for man. They set up their matchups, and they went for hell for leather, and it worked for them. And hopefully, just for Kieran McGinney's sake, knowing some of the Armagh players and knowing how much respect they have, I know there was outside pressure from probably the media that Kieran McGinney, if he didn't win, you know, this could be his. But I think if you ask any of those Armagh lads, I think it would be a totally different story.
Yeah, and like that Armagh, you'd imagine we'll have the momentum coming into this game now. They've had an extra game, a huge game that they've won, and Donegal off the back of another disappointing defeat.
Yeah, look at Armagh coming in after losing to Donegal. Excuse me, a point to prove. You know, like, it all points to an Armagh victory. And as Kyle was saying, the pressure on McGeaney. But like, you look at the amount of players who has left the Armagh panel over the last couple of years. I can't really think of anyone bar a retirement or two. Mm. So like, the players are buying into what he's doing, and that's the main thing. No matter what media says, what we say here, once they're buying in and they're kicking on, that's the main thing. They're holding the whole thing together. So a huge performance, and for them to win and get themselves through the next round is a huge thing, and will be a massive year for Armagh if they can get that victory. And I tipped Donegal the first day.
You gonna do it again?
I don't think so. No. if Armagh played the way they played yesterday, but I still fear for Donegal having the height around the middle, that Armagh won't have the joy they had of winning as much primary ball about around the middle. But if they can bring the energy they brought yesterday, they'll get plenty of turnovers, and I really do think Armagh could kick on. But they have to bring
being in a coffee shop and it's like an Armagh Tyrone border, a place called the Moy, where Sean Cabin's from, and I was in with my wife, and just remember seeing Kieran McGinney sit beside me with the three Armagh players. Grugan, Aidan Falker, I'm not sure who the other one was, but they were out. They must maybe had training or something. But it just struck me, you know, that this management didn't seem to be on a different page, or didn't seem to be any better than the players. They were out for their breakfast, and they were obviously having a bit of a chat about maybe the game. They had a game coming up. I was involved with the Tyrone team at the time, and I thought it's not something that I would have been doing. So yeah. I just thought it was something, you know, really, really good, the refreshing to see that they were out having probably a chat outside of football as well.
Yeah, shows good togetherness. And I suppose the other games there, Roscommon and Clare, Mayo and Kildare, they're in Croke Park. Is there much need for it in Croke Park? Could they not have done a provincial? It's going
to
be flat.
If they had brought them to a provincial ground, it would have been unbelievable. But yeah. As I said before, Mayo are happy to get to Croke Park, because last time they played Kildare in Newbridge, they lost the game, you know. So they're happy it's there. But as for atmosphere, like even the hurling final there, so many empty seats, and then you go down and you look at the Munster final, and it's
different. It's like a different sport.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. So as much as you want to get playing in Croke Park, sometimes, like, most of these teams have played in Croke Park enough. Like, bring them around the country and fill the stadiums. Like, there's many a good stadium there that gets very, very little big games. So bring them to them games. Like, everyone's crying out for it, but look at it, could be a money thing or that with the GAA. You just
wouldn't
don't
be like them. A money thing? No. Who's that?
I won't be on this again now because I said that.
And Cork and Limerick, it's going to Páirc Uíomh. There was actually talk below in Kerry that it might go to Clarny if it was neutral venue. Would have been a decent enough atmosphere down there, even though I think Clarny might be a bit big for it as well. But I think they do on home and away, so at least neither team has to travel too far. I'd fancy Cork to get over Limerick. I just think that the beating Limerick got against Kerry, and I think Cork with a bit of momentum now, maybe a bit of confidence now, I think they'll get over the line there. What do you reckon, Kyle?
Yeah, I would be on the same wavelength as you. I think, you know, Limerick have come to the fore this year with their footballers. They've stepped up. They got to Division 2, which was really, really beneficial for them. Next year, you know, playing against those teams will be playing against Dublin, they'll be testing themselves again. So, but I do think Cork should have enough to get over the line. I think they just have enough firepower up front with Sherlock and Brian Hurley. They should be able to do enough damage to get Cork over the line. But I do agree with you on the provincial grounds. Like, I wouldn't be a big hurling man. I would watch one or two games probably throughout the year, but I did purposely tune in yesterday because Thurles is a ground that whenever it's packed, it's something else, and it was class to see that sort of atmosphere. Everybody on celebrating the scores right on the side of the pitch. I do think that that's where some of these games should be played.
Yeah, and I suppose in other news, exciting times up in Ulster with the news that Caseman Park is finally going to be built. I'd be looking forward to trying to get up there to a game. It's been a long time coming, so it'll be bring a lot of excitement up to Ulster.
Yeah, like Caseman Park, I played in it back years ago, and it was probably, other than Crow Park or Clonmel, it was probably the best surface. It was unbelievable. It was just, and it was a good enough stadium too. Like, but now what they're planning now is outrageous. But
looks amazing.
What's the point in building it when every big game that potentially could be is thrown to Crow Park? You know, so it'd be frustrating. But then again, you have your Ulster games like in Clonus, but then Clonus goes idle.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot of big stadiums about the place that are idle for too many big games. And Breffni Park, another massive stadium.
Crow Park's never full anymore, unless you get maybe a Kerry and Dublin in a semi final or an All Ireland final in the football, and you've Páirce Caoimh, which is incredible, and Caseman Park, no one's going to be done in Crow. So there's no reason why they wouldn't be moving quarterfinals around the place going forward, because look, we were lucky enough if we've played in Crow Park, but when it's not full or it's only half full or under that, it's great to be there and stuff, but it does take away from the atmosphere.
Yeah, it can't be the same. Like I remember club football matches were took out of Breffni Park when Breffni Park was been done, and it used to be any of the big games would be thrown into Breffni. They were all thrown to club grounds. It was electric. Like, and that's at that level. Imagine county players coming in and into Newbridge and into Páirce Caoimh. It'd be brilliant and more enjoyment for players, supporters, everything, you know. It beggars belief now how they just keep
you
going.
You get lost in Crook Park, I think, very, very easy. You're lucky enough to play in it a number of times, and you, normally with Tyrone, it's big enough crowds. So if you're going in there with 20, 25,000 scattered out throughout the place, I did see some of the hurling, the Kilkenny game the night before, and it gets a bit lost, it gets a bit eerie, you don't hear much of the crowd. That's what I feel about Croke Park, where, you know, but going back to your point on Caseman Park, I love playing there. It's just, it was shaped, Cian, if you mind, it was a bit like a cauldron, it was like a bit of a hoop shape, the way the ground went around, and it was just the parking along the side of the road of the Andytown Road and all. It was a brilliant atmosphere. It always had that great. It's a bit like Clonus Hill. You have that, the people you're integrating with the people a wee bit and stuff like that, with the buses and stuff parked. So it's good to see momentum being changed with there. I think it'll be great for, you know, Antrim football as well to have a proper home.
Yeah, and one more thing I have to mention before we go. Here at the GA Hour, we're launching the GA Hour Skills Challenge. I took part in it. I was the guinea pig that got the ball rolling. So keep an eye out on our social media channels. Cian here beside me took a go at it as well. We won't say how we got on, but we want you to send in your videos to us, and we'll see how you get on. And at the end of the year, we're going to see who has the bragging rights. I'll let you in on a hint. It probably won't be me. But
I'll have to send in mine.
We're going to get you down. Don't worry. But look, that's all we have time for. A big thanks to Kyle Coney and Cian Mackey for joining us here again today. And we're looking forward to talk to you all next week about all the upcoming action. Cheers.
You're listening to the GAA Hour with Darren O'Sullivan on Sports Joe.
The final whistle is all over. Jim Gavin, Jason Sherlock embrace. Dublin are the history makers.
Today, Sean Kavanagh, who is a brilliant footballer, but I tell you what, you can forget about Sean Kavanagh as far as he's a man.
O'Sullivan, oh, that was absolutely brilliant. What about that for skill from Darren O'Sullivan?
Give him a goal. It's high. It's over. Will he ever get a more vital one than that?
The transition talk, I think Joe Bradley told us the production line was finished in Kerry. Well, Joe Bradley, what do you think of that?